This morning's message comes from Galatians chapter 5. And just a few verses this morning. My reader's not here, so I'll carry on. Verses 16 through 18 and 22 and 23. So I say, live by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So I've titled this morning's message, Live by the Spirit. Brother John kind of started down this road last week. I think it's a very appropriate message to be given the first sermon of the new year. As we begin the new year, it would be easy for us to focus on what is so badly wrong in the world. New spike in COVID infections. The general loss of trust in the established institutions that have made our country great.
Amen.
The news industry. Public health care. The judicial system. Our two-party political system. Deteriorating guidelines for free speech. The erosion taking place in our moral values, even within the Christian establishment.
Amen.
Racial injustice. And a growing divide between the haves and the have-nots. That is absolutely a cause for us to be ashamed. As Christians, we all, from time to time, allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by such negative thoughts, causing us to be fearful and almost helpless, all of which ruins our witness for the Lord. There is another road we Christians can choose. Hope. Rather than despair, a positive road. It requires us to be led by the Spirit. It encourages us to deny ourselves and come to Christ, who will give us rest. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light.
Amen.
I can think of no better passage of Scripture that is more useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness than the passage before us. So for the next 2 months, roughly, we want to examine this fruit of the Spirit, each one separately. And we will stand on the shoulders of the Holy Spirit in an effort to equip us all for every good work. The characteristics that God wants in our lives are seen in the ninefold fruit of the Spirit in verses 22 and 23. So let's try to nail down what Scripture teaches us about the fruit of the Spirit. I think I've got five or six things here that I've learned from Scripture about the fruit of the Spirit I want to share with you. First of all, the fruit of the Spirit is real fruit. It's not plastic. It's not man-made. It's real.
Amen.
It comes as a result of the Holy Spirit ministering in our lives. Not initiated by man, but supplied by God.
Amen.
The normal product of every believer. At least it should be. I go to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Now, those who try to produce their own fruit without dependence on God will be subject to Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven.
Amen.
Not our way, but his way. Real fruit. Next, and this is something I think is very interesting and I didn't notice. This fruit is singular. There are nine things listed, but it's singular. I got a prop with me this morning. Stole it out of the refrigerator this morning. This fruit is a picture here of not nine disjointed characteristics, but like leaves of an orange folded together, they make the orange. See here? We all know the different sections. This one may be his love and joy and peace and patience and so on. But it's all one unit. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Singular.
Amen.
Singular. These nine graces or qualities constitute unity. Each characteristic should appear in the lives of those who have professed faith in Jesus Christ. Each of them, all nine, should be in us. Each of the nine build upon each other. For example, I can't show joy without love. Patience is a result of showing kindness, and so on. Now, we might say that some of these characteristics aren't part of our nature, but that doesn't carry any weight with God. For in verse 16, his command is live by the Spirit. God is interested in what we are. God is not interested in what we are by nature. He's interested in what we are by means of him creating a new nature in our life. Let me read that again. God isn't interested in our nature. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, this idea of sharing the gospel with somebody, you know, it's just not my thing. I can't pray out loud. I just can't do it. I'm not equipped in that area. These fruits, however, all of them are to be in each of us. All of them are to be in each of us.
Amen.
God isn't interested in what we are by nature. He's interested in what we are by means of Him creating a new nature in us. And notice, an orange without two or three of these sections is less fruit. Less fruit. The next thing I want to say about the fruit is that it must be distinguished from gifts of the Spirit. Pastor Alistair Begg, one of my favorite guys from Scotland, who has pastored a church for many years in Cleveland, defines fruit as the spontaneous product of the presence of God's Spirit in the life of a believer. The spontaneous product of the presence of God's Spirit in the life of a believer. All nine are present in the life of a believer.
Amen.
Now, the gifts of the Spirit, plural, the gifts of the Spirit are given by God for special tasks to make us useful, and they're not shared by all alike. I might be gifted in speaking. You might be gifted in giving, and so forth. We do not all have the same gifts. Thank God. We'd be a boring group, wouldn't we?
Amen.
Nor should we all seek to have the same gifts. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. Different gifts. So gifts need to be distinguished from fruit.
Amen.
All nine of the fruit should be in each of us, whereas the gifts are indwelled according to God's grace. Next, the fruit has in it the seed for still more fruit. Now, this is interesting. If you'll remember, back in the first chapter of Genesis, the very early verses of Scripture in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land, and notice, that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. In other words, those of you who garden and don't quite get all of those tomatoes out of there, next year, that after that tomato has rotted and the seeds have fallen on the ground, guess what? Volunteer tomato plants. Volunteer tomato plants. Love begets more love. Joy helps produce more joy. Builds and increases upon each other. And Jesus is concerned that we produce fruit.
Amen.
In John chapter 15, I don't think we can look at this idea of fruit of the Spirit without going to John chapter 15 to see what John says about the vine and the branches. Chapter 15. Let me read the first five verses. Jesus says, I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. You got that?
Amen.
No one bears fruit, singular, by yourself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. God expects us to show more fruit and much fruit that comes from him. Because this is the way we glorify the Lord, by bearing fruit. Finally, when we're looking at these things that Scripture says about the fruit, this fruit has to do with character. This fruit has to do with character. The growth of fruit is the evidence of a transforming power of the gospel. The growth of fruit is an evidence of the transforming power of the gospel.
Amen.
Now, back in our book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20, here's what I think is meant by that. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Transforming power of the gospel. The evidence here is an indication of the reality of God's goodness to us. Isn't he good to us?
Amen.
We would all agree to that, wouldn't we? Too good. The production of this Spirit takes place continuously, quietly, in a slow, methodical way, in a process that can be lengthy for some of us. Over the holidays, some of you had family in, or you went to family's houses, and you hadn't seen family for a while. And I know in our case, when we saw our grandsons, more than once someone said, my goodness, how you've grown. But you know, we can't see ourselves grow, can we? Children don't lay in bed and say, you know, I think I'm growing now. It just doesn't happen. Growth comes and we can't see it. It is a continuous, quietly, methodically. It can take a while. Now, I can speak from experience in this area. Not only did it take me a while to accept Christ as my Savior, I must admit there are times I'm not as fruitful as I could be. I don't know about you, but I'm speaking about me. Here I think we need to be encouraged by a verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. When we worry and stew about this idea of not growing spiritually, what's the problem? Well, first of all, we're probably thinking it's something that we're not doing to cause the action to take place. But in 1 Philippians 1, verse 6, Paul says, being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He,
Amen.
He who began the good work is not going to let loose of you until you're complete. We need to acknowledge there will be winter time for our souls. Seasons when growth of fruit will be hard to distinguish.
Amen.
We've all been there. And we've gone through those seasons. Maybe we're in that season now. So I want to give to you here, this first Sunday of the new year, a challenge. A challenge. Let me read from the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 19 to 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Hallelujah. If you're a believer, this is who Paul's talking to here. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, right here, God's word, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but that's challenging.
Amen.
Are my actions remembering that I have Christ in me? Am I pleasing him? Or am I disappointing him?
Amen.
Among other things, this passage tells us that the church, not exclusively, but in particular, that the church is the place on earth that God lives. And since this is true, what God does in the framework of the church is work in such a way that the things that are found outside the church in society should be radically different inside.
Amen.
Within God's church, the things that are routinely encountered in our culture are not to be found in us.
Amen.
And I'm talking about individually, and I'm talking about this local church, and I'm talking about the church of Christians, the church that contains all the Christians across the world.
Amen.
We're to be different, you see. Now, we had a few of these things that we were warned not to be like previously in the scripture here. Before we started talking about the fruit of the Spirit, Paul was talking about the acts of the sinful nature. And just let me repeat a few of these. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, dissensions, factions. They don't belong in here or in this church.
Amen.
Right? That's what he's saying here. We are sons now. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. So we need to be different. Later in Ephesians, Paul says that he's praying, now listen to this, that the congregation will be rooted and grounded in love. In love. Now I must admit that this can be challenging for me. I have been guilty in the past of minimizing the reluctance of those who are fearful to join us in worship because of the COVID. I've had bad thoughts about that. Where's the love? Where's the love in that? My patience has been lacking for those whose feelings have been hurt. And left the fellowship. Where's the love? I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you. I have gone through seasons when personal Bible study have taken a back burner. Now that is absolutely nuts. That is crazy. How is God going to grow fruit in me if I am not studying His Word?
Amen.
It can't happen. It can't happen. Colossians 3, verses 15 and 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I wonder, and I don't know whether you wonder this or not, I wonder if what we say in private, or in public for that matter, about politics, about the worldview, I wonder if it's always pleasing to God and evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. Is it much different from the conversations you might overhear down at the local hotspot? Is it much different than that? You know, nearly every time I hear Brother Claude pray, and I love his prayers, but every time he prays, I think, practically every time, he calls for the healing of this great divide in our nation. Doesn't he?
Amen and amen.
Now the question is, what are we doing to correct it? What are we doing as our part, personally, for this healing? Are we part of the problem, or are we trying to grow in the Spirit? Am I in every way making the gospel of Jesus Christ attractive so that other people want to believe it? Want to believe that it makes a difference? Paraphrased by Kenneth Taylor, who was one of the writers of the Living Bible, surely. Does my character make people want to believe the gospel? My character. Not what I know about the gospel. Not what I can share with you that I've learned in Scripture or from some preacher somewhere. But what's my character showing them?
Amen.
Peter addresses this issue when he writes to those believers who have been scattered all over that known world. And he writes to them as believers. These are the people of faith. These are the people that have the faith. And he writes to them In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, goodness, and to goodness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Here's that word again. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to be useful to God? Right there they are.
Amen.
This is how you do it. What is goodness? Well, back in Galatians 5:22, this is godliness. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's godliness.
Amen.
What does it look like to be holy? To be godly? To be Christ-like? Right here it is. Verse 22. Do you see why I think this is so important? Why we want to spend 2 months on this? We need an attitude change. Everybody does.
Amen.
And you can't gather it up by pulling up your own bootstraps. You got to allow God to grow your fruit. Now let me end with a few summary statements. First of all, the fruit of the Spirit is the consequence of our having been brought to faith in Jesus.
Amen.
It's not going to happen till that happens. You can't put the cart before the horse. Ephesians 1:13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He's in there, and he's not leaving. It's sealed in your heart. Next, the growth of the Spirit, the growth of the fruit of the Spirit is an evidence of the transforming power of the gospel.
Amen.
It's always changing, isn't it? Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Such an important verse. I read it again. And finally, simply put, the fruit of the Spirit is Christ being lived out in us.
Amen.
It's Christ being lived out in us. And as John Piper once said, make every effort to make Christ look good to others. Let's bow our heads. Father, we have this prayer going up to you this morning. We're sincere in our efforts here. We admit that we have times in our lives when we're not bearing very good fruit for you. It's not because you're not helping us. It's because we're dropping the ball on our end. So we pray this morning, Lord, that with your help and your direction and your guidance and your encouragement and your sureness and faithfulness, let us set aside all else in this coming year and commit to allowing Christ his desire for growing the fruit of the Spirit in each of us and our church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our final hymn this morning is How Great Thou Art. How appropriate. 37. How Great Thou Art. Thank you.